What's up, guys? Welcome to episode number 6 of our series on hermeneutics, that is, how to read the Bible and having the right lens for reading the Bible. I'm your host, Pastor Stewart from Christ Church Opelousas. With me, as always, is the Pastor Brandon Neely. What's up, Pastor B?
Hey, how's it going?
And joining with us again this go-round is special guest Tim, the Tool Man Frazier.
That's me.
There he is.
I love it. Anyway, we're talking about the Jerusalem Council this week. Ooh, that one was always confusing for me.
It is. It is a hotly debated and quite obscure text of Scripture, but I think we're going to make sense of it today.
Ooh, we're going to unlock the keys.
Yeah, I can set the stage for us.
Hit me.
If you're ready to jump in.
I'm ready. Let's go. What do we got?
I know when I listen to podcasts, I like them to just jump in.
Quit with the banter.
Stop. Jump in.
Get in there.
That's what I like.
We should banter more about jumping in.
Before that, though, we need to talk about these messages from our sponsors. I'm just kidding. We don't have any sponsors.
We don't have any sponsors. But if you'd like to sponsor, we'll take it. Yeah.
That will never happen. Okay, well, let me go ahead and set the stage, and then we can read.
All right, go.
The Gentiles were being saved. They were being added to the church. And so you had a large contingent of Gentiles included into the Jewish synagogues.
Okay.
The gospel was going forth to the nations, and there was a hotly debated subject as to what laws the Gentiles needed to follow. Did they need to follow the dietary laws that the Jews had been following? Did they need to be circumcised? Were they allowed to eat pork? There's a lot of different questions about that. Mm. The Judaizers were a group that said they needed to follow all of the ceremonial laws of the Old Testament. They needed to be circumcised. They needed to eat kosher meat. They needed to become Old Testament Jews in order to continue in the grace of God and to be a part of the church. Mm-hmm. The disciples and the apostles all gathered together in the Jerusalem Council, along with what appears to be the Judaizers, and they had a great debate. They looked at the Old Testament, they made some applications, they made some deductions, and they came away with this statement, and I can read it for us. And this is James speaking. He says, "For it has seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay on you no greater burden than these requirements." So at the conclusion of the debate, James, along with Paul and Peter and Barnabas and all of the apostles, conclude to not lay on the Gentiles the Jewish ceremonial laws, mm-hmm. including mm-hmm. circumcision. Mm-hmm. But they gave these four requirements that they said still hold true in the New Covenant era. And there in verse 29,
this is Acts 15,
mm-hmm, that you abstain from what has been sacrificed to idols and from blood and from what has been strangled and from sexual immorality. If you keep yourselves from these, you will do well.
So what this means is that this is the only things we have to do nowadays.
It is a strange text.
We throw away the whole everything else.
Yeah. How do we make sense of this? And this is very important because it deals with the continuity between the old and the new covenants.
Yes.
It deals with what laws transfer into the new covenant.
Right.
And that's why we are bringing this up in our hermeneutic series. Mm. And so let's go ahead and read it, starting in verse 19, just to give everyone an overview.
All right, here we go. Acts 15, starting in verse 19, it says, "Therefore, my judgment is that we should not trouble those of the Gentiles who turn to God, but should write to them to abstain from the things polluted by idols and from sexual immorality and from what has been strangled and from blood. For from ancient generations, Moses had in every city those who proclaim him, for he is read every Sabbath in the synagogues." Verse 22. "Then it seemed good to the apostles and the elders and with the whole church to choose men from among them and send them to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas. They sent Judas called Barsabbas and Silas, leading men among the brothers with the following letter. The brothers," this is open quotes, "the brothers born both the apostles and the elders to the brothers who are of the Gentiles in Antioch and Syria and Cilicia, greetings. Since we have heard that some persons have gone out from us and troubled you with words, unsettling your minds, although we gave them no instructions, it has seemed good to us, having come to one accord, to choose men and send them to you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul." Verse 26, "men who have risked their lives for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have therefore sent Judas and Silas, who themselves will tell you the same things by word of mouth. For it has seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay on you no greater burden than these requirements." And here we have verse 29, what we read earlier, "that you abstain from what has been sacrificed to idols, and from blood, and from what has been strangled, and from sexual immorality. If you keep yourselves from these, you will do well. Farewell.
All right, so to summarize these four laws, they were not to eat meat that was sacrificed to idols.
Number one.
They were not to drink blood.
Don't do that.
And they were not to eat meat from animals that had been strangled.
Number three.
And they were to flee from sexual immorality.
Number four.
And this particular word for sexual or immorality referred to a whole class of laws.
Right.
Regarding sexual relationships.
Okay.
Okay. So now let's go through, before we unpack this, let's go through the various misinterpretations and see why this passage is important and how it has been misused by antinomians and other lawless folks to twist the scriptures.
Okay. Let's go.
So some of the misinterpretations, and Tim, maybe you could unpack some of these for us, but there are quite a few. We have, I think, listed here six different misinterpretations. Misinterpretation number one.
Yeah. Misinterpretation number one, that these are just social rules for when hanging out with the Jews.
We only got to do this when the Jews are around, you guys.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of like Baptists with alcohol, right?
You just don't drink when you're around another Baptist.
Yeah. No drinking if a Baptist is present.
That's right.
Just cultural rules, social rules. So, you know, trying to be polite.
Right.
Right.
Misinterpretation number two, the Old Testament laws are done away with totally.
Just throw them all away.
Yep. You only have to obey these four things when hanging out with the Jews, and only New Testament commandments apply.
So the Ten Commandments, we're done with those.
You see, what they're saying is, they're saying, hey, look, he's listed these four things for the New Covenant, and these don't include the moral law. These don't include things like murder and stealing. Now, but murder and stealing are reinstituted in the New Testament.
Right.
This only includes the moral law of sexual immorality. And so what many people were saying is that this means the Old Testament is done away with, all the laws of the Old Testament, and that only those things restated in the New Testament are true, plus these four things. All right, misinterpretation number three.
The number three, each culture has different norms, and we just preach the basic gospel. They're just going along with what the Jews' culture was at the time.
That's right, and a lot of missionaries believe this. They go into another land, and they don't confront the culture.
Yeah.
They don't confront female circumcision and mutilation. They don't confront burning wives along with husbands on their funeral pyres. They don't confront, blood feuds and other such things that are, quote unquote, cultural.
Mm. Human sacrifice, totally cultural.
Yeah, right. They just preach the gospel. They just preach the gospel.
Interesting.
And that has been something believed by missionaries. And this, of course, is not true either. Another one of the misinterpretations is that James is just caving to the Judaizers, just trying to compromise, you know, give a little, take and take a little, you know, I scratch your back, you scratch mine, sort of a thing. But Paul also taught this, and Paul, we know, as well as James, they're not compromisers. Another misinterpretation is that James is just listing worship laws.
Okay?
That these are all just quote unquote worship laws. Like, for example, the first one says that they have to abstain from meat sacrificed to idols. So people would see that as the title, the genus, and then all these other ones are species. So that when you're in worship, you know, don't be drinking blood in worship, or strangling animals in worship, and don't be having sex with temple prostitutes in worship.
Interesting.
These are worship laws that took place in the pagan temples. You can't keep doing that, guys.
Okay. Of course, gotta clean up your church service.
Right. The problem with that is the grammar doesn't add up. These aren't species of a larger type. It says and this.
Right.
And it never says anything about temple prostitution. The word sexual immorality refers to all manner of things, incest and pornography, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
And then one last, and this is really the big one, and we've already said this a little bit, and this is the one everyone needs to realize. This does not mean that the moral laws of the Old Testament do not transfer into the New Testament. Romans 13:9, for the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment are summed up in this word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. All the commandments of the Old Testament come into the New Testament unless they are abrogated, unless they are made obsolete. The dietary laws, which served to separate Jews from Gentiles, mm-hmm. were made obsolete. Jesus ended those.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The division wall between Jews and Gentiles was done away with. And so we no longer have those dietary laws.
Right.
Right. But all the laws that are not abrogated, any law that's not abrogated is still in effect, like the tithe and the Sabbath. Now, the Sabbath has been changed. It's changed in form, but it's not done away with.
Right.
Now we celebrate the Lord's Day, the fullness of the Sabbath law.
Right.
So all these laws transfer into the New Testament. The idea that all the laws do not transfer and are only still in effect if the New Testament states it is a product of modern dispensational hermeneutics. It must be rejected. It must be rejected. Paul says very clearly, listing the Ten Commandments mm-hmm. and then stating any other commandment.
Right.
Summed up in the word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself.
Amen.
They all still carry on today.
Amen.
So how do we then make sense of this particular passage? Do the Gentiles not have to also avoid murdering people?
Mm.
You know, how do we make sense of this? And I think we can make sense of this quite easily. In Leviticus chapter 17 and 18, the law is laying out specific things that Gentile converts had to avoid. Okay.
Leviticus, Old Testament.
Leviticus 17 and 18. You see, you understand there was always Gentiles
that were coming into the church. There was always happening. They were in the outer courts. They were in the Gentile courts. Yep. Okay.
Yes. And, but there's two categories of them. Some became full on Jews. They got circumcised.
Mm.
They followed all the dietary laws. But others remained Gentiles.
They were called like worshipers of God or something. They had a technical term. I can't remember what it was.
That's right. And, but there's different types. There's an example of Uriah the Hittite. He remained a Hittite, but he was a Christian. He will be in heaven, but he was never circumcised.
Mm.
He kept eating crawfish. He didn't go into the he didn't go into the temple courtyards. He didn't move to Jerusalem or celebrate those things, but he was a believer.
Yeah.
Okay. So you had these foreigners, these sojourners in the land.
Yeah.
And Leviticus 17 and 18 gave them specific laws that they needed to keep to get along with Israel.
Okay.
They weren't saying that they are now Israel.
Right.
They're just saying they live among Israel and they need to follow these laws. And the laws included not eating meat sacrificed to their pagan idols,
right.
not drinking blood, not eating meat that was strangled, and not marrying their sisters or their sister-in-laws.
Okay.
This was in Leviticus 17 and 18.
Okay, got it.
Now, here's what's important. Why does Leviticus 17 and 18 bring this up? Because doesn't the moral law apply to everyone? Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal.
Yeah.
Is James and the apostles debating as to whether or not the Gentiles have to follow the moral law? No, because these laws that he lists, which are also listed in Leviticus 17 and 18 for the Gentiles, are not moral laws.
Okay.
Now, at first glance, you might say, what? Avoiding sexual immorality?
Seems
that's
like
not
a moral,
moral
law to me, bro.
But if you read, that's right. But if you read 17 and 18 of Leviticus carefully, it's referring to incest laws. It's referring to marrying your half-sister, which is not a part of the moral law.
Mm.
How do I know?
Okay.
Because Cain married a sister.
Okay. Yeah.
And Moses married his half-sister.
Right.
Not Moses, Abraham.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Was it Abraham or Moses?
Abraham
married his half-sister.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. So these incest laws were not in place from the creation.
Okay.
They were not a part of the moral law.
They were
added them later in Leviticus 17 and 18.
Okay.
He added some of these even earlier than this, and I'm going to show you that in a second.
Okay.
And he did it for particular reasons. Okay. Health reasons, probably, as the genetic pool becomes less and less diverse.
Like 30 years and stuff.
Exactly. So in the Old Testament, Gentiles had to follow these rules.
Right.
So when James is reading from the Old Testament, he deduces, we're not going to add anything new to them, but they've already been doing this. They've always been doing this.
Because it's specifically an application to the
Gentiles who live among us.
And
you
all
can
right,
see
all right,
it.
All right.
Look at Acts 15:15.
Okay.
He even says this. He says, and with this, the words of the prophets, plural, agree.
Mm.
And we don't have the time to show all of this, but he's quoting Amos 9.
Mm-hmm.
Jeremiah 12 also states it. And Zechariah 8. The prophets agree. Agree with what? Agree with Leviticus 17 and 18.
I got it. I see it.
That the Gentiles among them, they didn't have to get circumcised. They didn't have to follow all the kosher rules, but they did have to. They couldn't marry the half-sisters.
Right.
They couldn't go around drinking blood.
Yeah. So when they're talking about sexual immorality, they're talking about it in the light of Leviticus
17 and 18. Yeah,
it's the whole compass of sexual immorality that we immediately pull out when we read that.
Absolutely. You see, the context of the debate is they're looking at Amos 9 and Jeremiah and Zechariah and Leviticus, and they're trying to determine how do we get along with these Gentiles.
He's basically saying, guys, keep doing basically
what God told you to do.
Yeah.
We're not going to add anything extra on you, because God never told the Gentiles not to eat pork.
Like
he told
the Judaizers are trying to do. Like the Judaizers are coming along and saying, come get circumcised. You got to do all these other things now. And they're saying, no, we're not going to give you extra.
That's right.
Here's
the
stuff you've been doing. Keep rolling. Yeah.
God told you to do this. Yeah, these are your laws.
That makes total sense.
Absolutely. And I'll even show you even further. Genesis chapter 9. And I don't have the verse listed in our notes, and I can't remember what it was, but it's in Genesis chapter 9. Oh, verse 3. I'm sorry. Verse 3. God says to Gentiles when they get off the ark, right? Noah and his family.
Yeah.
They're all Gentiles, right?
Yeah.
Abraham's
not
born yet. He says to these Gentiles, he says, every moving thing that lives shall be food for you.
Okay.
And as I gave you the green plants, I give you everything.
Right.
So we have this new, he's expanding their diet laws, and he says, you got to eat all the plants, now you can eat all the animals.
Right.
What about crawfish? What about pork? That was not added until later for the Jews, and it was one of those cultural laws, ceremonial laws, that distinguished Jews from Gentiles.
Right.
Because God was setting them apart as a nation.
Right.
Once he brought Jew and Gentile back together again in the mystery of the gospel, he took those separation dietary laws away.
And that was Peter in the vision of the sheet coming down from heaven with all the things on it and God saying, take, kill, and eat. Yeah.
Absolutely, absolutely. But notice in Genesis chapter 9, the next verse, you can eat everything, but you Gentiles, the parents of the whole human race, this applies to everyone, Gentiles included, Gentiles in the church at Antioch and Jerusalem, but you shall not eat flesh with its life, that is, its blood.
Boom. Universal law.
Universal law. Yep. You don't drink or eat blood.
Got it.
Started with Noah. The Gentiles were always doing it. Leviticus 17 and 18 restates it. Mm-hmm. The prophets restated it as well.
Yeah.
And James says, look, this has always been the case. We're not adding anything to y'all, but you got to keep on following what God told you to follow since the flood.
Don't eat the blood.
Don't drink blood.
Mm.
That's right. And now, just for us today, this still applies.
Yeah. Right.
And
now, wait, though, Pastor Brandon, because you know there's 17 guys listening to this podcast right now.
I can't have a rare steak anymore.
That's exactly where their head went. They're like, wait, but I really like a rare steak.
Does that have blood in it?
Well, take it from someone who has raised and butchered and eaten his own meat.
Right.
The blood is drained out of it immediately after the slaughter.
Right. That red stuff that you see, that's not blood.
That's juices.
It says you're not to eat flesh with its life. That is, its blood.
Mm.
And in Western society, we have always slaughtered the animal, usually with some sort of a bolt gun to the forehead.
Mm-hmm.
And then they slice the arteries of the neck, releasing the blood.
Mm-hmm.
And then it is hung upside down for an extended period of time.
It's
after
aged,
being gutted.
It's drained and aged.
All
yeah.
the blood is drained out of it.
Right.
Long before it ever is cooked at, quote, rare.
Right.
See, and
right.
the reason why we do this in our culture is because our culture has been affected by the Bible.
Mm.
And that's why, for most
Amen.
People, the idea of drinking a big glass of blood is disgusting. Because
for most people,
it's not like we're struggling with this.
There's a
right?
few Wicca people listening to this right now. Like,
the
I don't
pagans
know,
are
going to
be disappointed.
It's refreshing.
Yeah. That's right. But it's also why in our literature, monsters and vampires and such are pictured as drinking blood, because it is a violation of God's commandments.
Right.
That's right. So I hope that unpacks what is going on in the Jerusalem Council. We can see it again, if you want, very clearly in Leviticus 17, verse 10. If anyone of the house of Israel or of the strangers who sojourn among them eats any blood, I will set my face against that person who eats blood and will cut him off from among his people. So if you read 17 and 18, you're going to see God telling the Gentiles, don't do these things.
Yep.
James is saying, we got to keep this. This is added to what we think of as the moral law,
mm-hmm.
and you have to continue doing this. This doesn't mean that Gentiles don't have to follow the laws of the Old Testament
mm-hmm.
that apply to them, like the Ten Commandments.
Right.
They continue doing all of that, and they also continue doing this.
Mm-hmm.
That was the settlement of the Jerusalem Council. But what they don't have to do are the ceremonial laws and the various cultural laws that distinguish Jews and Gentiles in the Old Covenant. Those have been abrogated away.
Got it. Got it.
So eat your crawfish, eat your pork.
Mm.
Just don't eat blood.
Just don't drink a big heaping cup of blood.
Don't drink blood.
Don't marry your sister.
Right. Don't marry your sister or your half-sister. We know Cain did it, but God set us straight.
God
helped
us.
He helped us. That's right, because the genetic pool is different and probably other reasons.
Right.
Don't go out and strangle a sheep. And the reason why they say strangled is because that is leaving the blood in it. Like, you're not killing
it with a knife.
You're strangling it so that you can eat it with the blood in it. Don't do that.
Don't do that.
Don't do these things. And God will be pleased with you.
Amen.
So that settles it. When we read the New Covenant, the Old Testament laws still apply. The moral laws all apply. The only thing that doesn't apply is something that has been specifically abrogated in the New Testament.
Done.
Guys, amen.
Thank you all so much for joining us for another episode of Hermeneutics. This is episode number 6. If you found these things helpful, we encourage you to share these resources with your friends. And please continue to listen to our other podcasts that you can find on our website, wearechristchurch.com, or anywhere that you listen to podcasts. We'll see you guys next time, and thanks for listening.